This is the August 13th meeting of the PNB Programming Committee. I'm George Ryder, the Chair Pro Tem, and I'm about to call the roll. Benito Diaz.
Present.
Yvonne Alcine.
Ankine.
Ankine?
Yes, hi. Sorry, I'm a little late.
That's all right. You're here in time for a quorum call.
Oh, great.
Wesley Bethune is here. He's making a phone call for us.
I'm here.
Okay. Janet Coleman.
Here.
Russell Dale.
Here.
Con Hallinan. Luke Jones. Ali Alexa said he'd be about a half hour late. Liana Lopez. Margie Murray.
Hi, Phil.
Henry Knorr.
Here.
Laura Priebus. Myself. Who's that just came on? Lawrence Reyes. Michelle Smith. Alex Steinberg. Okay, we have...
There's mail from Lawrence, I think, saying it's going to be a little late.
We have actually 9 members, so that's definitely quorum. Okay, so are there any announcements that need to be made? Okay. You should all have a copy of the agenda. Is there anything that wants to be added to the agenda, or is there any shuffling around that you'd like to do? I'm sorry, I thought someone said yes. Hello? Okay, I'm hearing no response. So,
will you repeat your question?
Is there any shuffling around, changing of sequence?
Oh, I think I come in before. I just think that we should make note, and I don't have the exact date, but that Pacifica is doing national programming on coverage of the conventions. And I think we should be, you know, aware of that.
What are the dates, do you know?
I think, whatever the dates of the conventions are, which I think are the last week of August, and which I think is the Republican convention in Tampa.
Yeah, 27th. Yeah.
27th, week of the 27th, and then the other one, I guess, the following 2 weeks later? Or 1 week later? Anyway.
Don't know. Anyway.
Just to keep that in our imagination.
Is there any objection to the agenda as it stands?
No.
Okay, well, hearing none. The next item is to elect the chair and secretary. I've been functioning as chair pro tem. I'm willing to do it again and be the chair, the permanent chair. Is there anyone else that wants to do it?
George.
Benito.
Before we do all that, I just have one preliminary question.
Yes.
On your notice of today, on the second paragraph, there's something you wrote there that I didn't understand about if someone is absent to a meeting, if someone is absent at a meeting that doesn't meet quorum, then that absence does not, if I understood it correctly, that absence does not count towards 3 meetings, 3 consecutive absences?
Yeah, it was really for Janet. She was here last week, or last month, but we didn't make quorum. So you have to, if you've missed 2 meetings that did make quorum, you have to be at the 3rd meeting that makes quorum, or you get removed from the committee.
So in other words, I just got by the skin of my teeth, right?
No, you're here now.
I am now at a meeting that I have made. So the other one didn't count, in other words.
That's what the point of that was. It didn't count because it...
That is
it didn't
crazy.
Count towards what?
Basically.
That's
yeah.
really nuts.
Well, this is what I don't get. Because I think I'm hearing you say something... I think I'm hearing you say the opposite of what I thought I understood when I read. So in other words, if Janet or whoever missed 2 meetings, but she showed up last month and we couldn't get to we didn't meet quorum, that's not her fault.
Yeah, that's right. There's something wrong
with
that.
It's not
rule.
It's not her fault, but it's not a meeting. And so it doesn't count as...
Well, then why disqualify anyone for being absent? It's not that big a sin.
In order to do the disqualification,
time.
We have to have a meeting and minutes of the meeting that say they weren't there and that a quorum was met. That's the rules.
Great.
So you're saying that if somebody shows up, but we don't make quorum, then essentially everybody, to be concrete, everybody who came to the meeting last time
doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. Yes, that meeting doesn't exist, and so it doesn't count for anything.
All right, but in any, but at the very least, then it doesn't count against anybody.
No, it doesn't count against anybody. So if you weren't there,
that would be really bad. If they
in suspended animation during those hours.
That's right. So for instance, there are some people who didn't make it to this meeting, who I've already notified that they'll be dropped if they didn't make it to a meeting. They didn't make it the last meeting either, but I can't drop them from by virtue of not being at the last meeting because it wasn't
the last meeting didn't count.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway.
I got it.
Okay, so back to electing a chair and secretary. Would anyone else like to do it?
No.
No.
Okay. Hearing no other nominations, then I'd like to be elected by acclamation. Would you all give a hear, hear, or something like that?
Yes.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
One clarification. Are you, are we electing you as chair and secretary? Or
no, I was about to get down to that. I'm the chair. I would surely like not to be the secretary as well. Is there someone who's willing to do it? It doesn't mean it, to be secretary, you just have to put down who was there and what motions were passed, and that's it. Anybody willing to do that? I heard a sigh.
Yeah, that was a sigh, because I'm really not. I can't take on this particular responsibility until I know what this committee is doing more.
Okay. Perhaps we can get back to you at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay,
yeah,
next question. Yes.
If I can just, for whatever it's worth, though, I can understand being, you know, hesitant because you're not familiar with the particular committee, so you don't know the lay of the land, I guess. But taking notes is taking notes. So,
right.
And I'm not willing to do it, so I shouldn't talk.
Right. No, you shouldn't.
That's right,
right.
You know, just to be. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't think anybody can have a heart attack if you made one mistake or 10.
No, I don't mind that. It's just that I happen to be having a little wrestling match with a cat in the hallway right now. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't.
Okay. It's not terribly onerous for a committee and.
Well. Okay. I'll do the task of talking about the motions. If you will forward me the list of members here.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Deal.
Okay.
George.
Yes.
Hi, Don Kine. I do have the dates if you're interested of the national coverage for both the Republican and the Democratic convention.
Yes, thank
you.
What's the, what,
okay.
What
so the one is that of August 27th to 30th, and also September 3rd to 6th.
Okay.
And then it will be 4 hours a night, Monday through Thursday, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. PST.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sure.
Two minutes from the last meeting. Anyone have the minutes from the last? Yes, Benito?
Just real quick. What did we just agree to about the secretary?
Janet said she'll record the motions if I'll send her the list of people who are here for tonight.
Tonight.
Yes, that's good enough for the time being. So, I sent the minutes out actually last month, and Well, let me ask you this. Does anyone have them in front of them? If you do, say, I do.
Hold on. I'm sorry, I missed this last. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, does anyone have the minutes in front of them? I sent them out last month, but I didn't think about it until just a few minutes before this meeting, and I haven't gotten them to you again. So
George.
My expectation is that we can't approve minutes yet. Yeah, Benito?
Yeah, George, I was looking for it. I didn't get a chance to prepare for this meeting until about an hour ago, and so I was looking through everything I have, and I don't think I received it.
I have it.
I didn't see it. Oh.
I have the agenda. Mm-hmm.
Would you send it to Prog List? Forward it to Prog List, and we'll all have it.
All right.
So what I propose is that we go on to the next item and come back and do approving minutes when everybody's had a chance to get those minutes and at least maybe take a cursory look through them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any objection to doing that?
Excuse me, a question. Are the minutes, the last one's from May 14th?
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
So what about June?
We didn't make quorum in June.
Oh, they wouldn't make quorum in there either. Oh, I see. I was looking for June minutes. No wonder. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions about the minutes? Any objection to moving on and talking about the next item on the agenda, which is review and reconsider motion on program councils? No. Okay. Let's do that then, and I'll remember to come back to approving the minutes after we finish this discussion. So, to bring everybody up to speed, last year's programming committee spent a considerable amount of time putting together a proposal for program councils, which would be passed by the PNB, and which would be a framework for program councils at every station. That motion was also, I believe, sent out with the minutes from the last meeting, and was rejected by the board. I was asked to do a little bit of investigating as to why it was rejected, which I did. At the meeting in which that was discussed, we had only one person who had actually voted against it, and he spoke for himself. That was Ivan Alcimede. But what he said was one of the themes that I found in speaking to other people as well. Alvin Lexer was also voted against it. He hopefully will be in a little bit later, but again, he can speak for himself. But
who was this?
Alvin Lexer.
Okay.
Basically, there were three, really. Some people didn't really read it and didn't know what was in it, and so didn't vote. Some people felt that it was essentially hopeless, that you're not going to be able to resolve conflicts this way, and that you shouldn't. It's just putting it in place more. Organization that doesn't work. That was their feeling. Others felt that the proposal itself was too detailed and had too many specifications in it for the way things were to be done, and so rejected it as kind of bureaucratic. After speaking with people about what was in it, typically I got, oh, okay, I could vote for that. So it's possible that we could actually pass this if we put it back again, either with some changes or without. So that being said, anyone want to speak to the issue of what to do with the program council motion?
George?
Yes, Henry?
No, it's Russell.
Oh, Russell, okay, go ahead.
George, I'm here, Lawrence.
Oh, Lawrence, welcome.
Hey, Lawrence.
Hey, Russell.
Yeah. So, one thing, is the motion that we're considering now, or we want to discuss, the one that's we got in the email for the last meeting that was signed by Michael Novick?
Michael Novick signed the objection to it, but that's probably at the end of the motion. He was one of the members of the committee, and he was for most of
the minority report. I see it.
He had a minority report there. That's right.
I got it. Okay, so above that is the motion. How can we discuss this if not everybody has?
Maybe it should be read again, huh?
Well, I think probably it came out with the.
Should I read this
with the minutes?
Yeah, but even so, a reading would be.
Yeah,
good.
Go ahead, read it. At least the people on stream,
okay,
if there are any, will get to hear it.
Yeah. So the motion goes like, this is what I have. I hope this is the right thing. It's in a document called Program Council Proposal 3.docx.
Yeah.
Motion for P&B from Programming Committee.
Right, can I interrupt for 1 second? This is Henry.
Sure.
I just want to say that if people have access to their email, it was George sent it out on July 9th, and it's not in the same mail
with the minutes.
With the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's
thank
the
you.
One I got it from. Well, the only thing in the body is it just says George. It says George Ryder, P&B Programming Committee Monday, and then it just says the word George in the body, and it says the belief in the free market economics, better, you know, that little slogan that George has with his things. And then there was the last agenda, and then at the bottom there's an attachment, which is what I'm reading.
I'm sorry, can I ask which address it came from, which email address?
Proglist.
It came from proglist at kpftx.org.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay, motion for P&B from Programming Committee on Program Councils. The P&B directs the Executive Director to set up Program Councils as management committees at each station. The composition of the committee shall consist of one-third staff selected by single transfer vote election, one-third members of the LSB, the local station board, also selected by an STV, that's a single transfer vote election, and one-third listeners approved jointly by the local station board and the program director.
Wait a minute. Go over that one again. I want to hear who the listeners are as distinguished from the
bureaucracy. I'm going to read exactly what it says. The composition of the committee shall consist of one-third staff selected by single transfer voting election, one-third members of the LSB, local station board, also selected by single transfer vote election, and one-third listeners approved by the local station board and the program director, by a procedure satisfactory to both. Terms shall be for the maximum of 2 years, or for an LSB member, the term on the LSB, whichever is less. The Program Council shall serve to provide a collaborative nexus between the board, the listeners, the staff, and the management of the station, for the purpose of implementing the programming policies of the local station board and the Pacifica National Board. Specifically, they shall have power to review programs and vet new programs.
And what? Power to review and what else?
Review programs and vet new
and
programs,
vet.
Including for compliance with the mission, and recommend changes to schedules. They shall provide for adjudication of issues arising between staff and management where no other means of doing so exists. They will set their own agendas in these regards. Program directors will serve as non-voting ex officio members of the programming councils. The program director shall provide an orientation and training to the members of the program council on generally accepted standards of air quality and the art and science of putting a programming grid together. Program council members have...
Please, let him read it without comment. We can comment about it afterwards.
Program council members have the reciprocal responsibility to educate themselves on these matters and to learn more about what goes into radio production and programming from the programming and production staff. The programming councils are charged with making recommendations to the program director. If the program director declines to act on such recommendations, he/she shall report his/her reasons and respond to dialogue on the issue from the council. Such dialogue shall be made widely available to the listeners. If consensus cannot be reached on a course of action between the program director and a majority of the council, the council can appeal the decision to the GM with a vote of 2/3 by its members. The council will make a yearly report on its functioning to the LSB, the programming committee of the PNB, and the listeners, and may make interim reports to these bodies as it sees fit. It will solicit input on programming from the listeners. All members of the program council will be all meetings of the program council will be in public session, with the exception of those that are required to be in executive session by the Pacifica bylaws. The council shall determine by majority vote whether any given meeting must be held as an executive session. That's it.
That's it. Okay, any comments?
Great reading.
I have a question. Was this an attachment? Because I'm looking at all my emails. I can't find it. Is it
It was
an attachment?
Attachment, and it was on July 9th. And, I'm just
and it was an attachment?
And yes. I'm just about to send it again.
July 9th.
I just sent it again.
Okay.
May I make a comment? This is Russell.
Yeah, certainly, Russell.
Well, you know, I wasn't around for the discussion that went into this, but as I read it now, it does sound extremely bureaucratic, and
would anybody get anything on the radio?
It's just a little surprising that why, is it the job of the PNB and governance to tell the program director to tell management? It's basically this motion seems to be a kind of quasi-usurpation of management function by the PNB or by governance. And it's kind of surprising that way, the way it's sort of structured. It wants to take some sort of control or at least share control with the programming director, the program directors, and it wants to impose this sort of unilaterally. It's a little surprising, and I wouldn't be surprised if program directors didn't want to, sort of work with this kind of rubric, with this kind of regime. But that's my initial response to it. And it just seems odd because, it seems odd because, number one, I could see why program directors would not want to have this sort of pushed on them. And number two, it's philosophically or metaphysically, I don't know how to put it, it seems like a quasi-usurpation of management functions to governance.
Well, let me speak to that, unless somebody who
Mike,
also...
Mike, could be put on the list, too? You can go first. But.
Yes, Janet, okay. I do want to deal with that first, though, because we were very careful not to actually do that. But I think, Benito, you were a member of that committee, and...
Yeah.
Perhaps a few others. Would anyone else like to speak to that, or if not, I will.
I would just simply say that we, like George just said, we struggled with that very issue for a long time over several meetings. And I must say that, a whole number of us on the committee had problems with this point or that point. But what we tried to do is to, compromise. And this, I think that this document in general, I mean, there are a lot of things in here that I didn't like, for instance, and that other people didn't like, but what we tried to do was to compromise and come up with something that, I don't want to call it the least common denominator, but at least what what everybody would agree to, and the only reason we even have a minority report is because one person didn't want to, you know, didn't want to accept that discipline. But
the discipline of what?
That what we're producing is a collective compromised position.
Okay.
Let me speak to the question of usurpation of management prerogatives.
Yeah.
It was made a management committee, and if you read it carefully, the only requirement on management is that if the program director ignores the recommendation of the program council, he or she has to defend that publicly. They don't have to change their opinion. They don't have to do anything different. They have complete executive authority. But they are become responsible to at least explain what they're doing in public. This was put in place because of the sense that much of the conflict in the organization is about people who are deeply concerned with the station and want to have a say about programming, basically having nothing to say, having no place to say it, having no place to be heard, and having no place to actually responded to where what they say makes any difference to anybody as far as they can tell. Leaving them with the option of, well, let's fire the general manager or the program director or whatever. So this was an attempt to put the requirement in the bylaws that somehow programming be done cooperatively with the LSB, and by implication, I think the community of people who are interested in the station. And it was what we thought was a minimal requirement. That it
too minimal.
Point of information?
They just have to say why they're doing what they're doing, basically.
Yeah,
go ahead. Point of information.
Point of information. Just where in the bylaws does it say that programming should be done cooperatively with the LSB?
Well, it'll take me a little bit to dig it up, but it is in there.
Really?
I don't recall that being in there.
No,
in fact, I recall it being exactly stated that the LSB really has no say in
That is stated, and if you give me a minute or two, I'll pull it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Right. I'm sure that
left... back on the stack after.
So I have Janet on the stack.
Okay.
And Benito.
And Benito. And who else? Anybody else?
I'm Keene.
I'm Keene.
I'll go at the end because I've spoken already.
Sure. Anybody else?
Am I next?
You're next, Janet.
Okay. I think that this very elaborate way to evoke a collective decision, it impedes very much the radio, the practice of radio, which has to respond in immediate time, in real time, to events in the world. It has to. And if we're not, we're talking here about the entering convention mode, you know, that is a mode. It's a big deal in this country. And Pacifica has to have a voice and so forth. And Pacifica, at a lot of times, has to have a voice. I don't see how this program council provides, in fact, the opposite. It provides a way for Pacifica to never have a voice, to never make a mistake, to never get out there and speak out on a topic, because there would be committees and people with great ideas and geniuses who have a wonderful idea but who don't have the will to execute them, you know, are going to have, you know, this is going to still populate the 2/3 plus a program director. You're going to have your listeners who have a million ideas and personal, you know, grievances and all kinds of crap, and then you're going to have your LSB people who don't know how to produce anything, and then you're going to have your staff who will, you know, close in because they should, because they know they have to get it on. These are, frankly, the realities of doing the radio show. And I think it's a waste of, you know, it's not a way to promote communal creativity to lock us into so many, you know, it ought to be more fluid to respond to what's even going on at Pacifica. For example, this motion puts the executive director of the operation into, it gives her the power to set up the group and probably in that and, you know, decide who's appropriate and who gotta be, who doesn't exist. And then we don't even have really an executive director. And how many times a year could that happen? You know what I mean? It doesn't have, you know, it can't run. It can't, this thing doesn't run fast enough. Okay.
George, can you put me on the stack, Lawrence?
Yeah, Lawrence. Okay. So I have Benito, Ankeny, and Lawrence.
And Henry.
Okay. Frankly, Janet, I don't see how this council proposal interferes in any way with PDs doing what they got to do on a daily basis. You know, they got to respond to a national event. They're going to put on a coverage of a demonstration or the convention or whatever. They're going to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't see where this council gets involved in anything like that. I think the purpose of the proposal, as George stated, was to simply provide a way for staff and community and LSB to have some kind of say-so, some kind of influence over what happens with programming, one way or the other. It's not to try to, in fact, I was the one that was running a position similar to what I heard, I think it was Russell, said a little earlier about we shouldn't, because, you know, that the LSB should not be interfering, you know, with the business of programming. And I fully support that idea. But what I do think, and what I think we do hear consistently station after station after station, is that folks are saying, both staff and LSB members are saying, that these PDs run around here like God. They make decisions on their own without consulting nobody. And their decisions sometimes may be, but a lot of times are not, you know, consistent with what the community is requesting, you know. And so there has to be, you know, this is not Fox 5 or Fox whatever,
mm-hmm.
Channel 9 or Channel 7 or whatever. This is a community station, so if it is, then what kind of way can the community, and when I say community, I'm including paid and unpaid staff as well as the LSB and whoever else, you know, phone volunteers, whatever, you know, we got to be able to have some kind of say-so somehow. Now, if this setup is not the best way, well, maybe it ain't.
Well,
maybe we need to revise it.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I'm almost finished.
Yeah,
maybe we need to revise it, but I think that the essential purpose of the whole proposal is to give us some kind of input. So anyway.
Let me read. I found the section in the bylaws, so let me read this in response to what Russell asked. This is it's Article 7, Section 3G. This is duties of the LSB. To work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, in brackets demographic, and communities, in brackets geographic, served by the station, and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. So that's the basis for the bylaws direction that this should be done collaboratively. Ankeny, you're next.
I'm wondering if it tells you how to do that, because I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
Yes, my point maybe kind of covers the same points other people had. One, I'm concerned about the composition. I'm afraid it's going to become like our station board.
Alex, welcome.
Hi. Do you have a quorum?
Hi.
We do.
Okay.
Can you repeat that, Ankara?
Yes. I was starting to say that I'm concerned that this is going to become sort of like another mini board where you have elections, and there are factions, and people are trying to get their own people on this board because they know they're going to control programming, and then we have certain people elected, they will have certain vision, because there are different interpretations of mission accomplished, what's the mission of Pacifica, what does the mission statement say, or what does it mean, just like we have different interpretation of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It's natural, you know. So people are going to have different interpretations, and depending on who you have at this specific time, you're going to have certain kind of programming on there, and then that group goes, or some of the people, 2 years pass, and then other group comes in, or they might even get off sooner. It's a very complicated way of addressing the issue of how we can have some feedback. And in addition to that, you say in here that the PD is going to train this group of people, which, and I'm sure this was pushed there because the PD has knowledge that we don't have. So we are assuming that with training we can have his knowledge now. I'm questioning that, you know. It's really, how do you get that knowledge that takes years and years of different kind of experience to get to that point? And then you want this group to vet programming. How do they do that? Right now, people prepare a program, they come give it to the PD, he listens to it, he might discuss with the general manager, and they make a decision about looking at the whole grid, how this fit doesn't fit, is it good programming, is it not? We're going to sit there and listen to all the shows and or whoever is on that group and make that decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a complicated system that has been created. And you said PDs are like gods. Okay, maybe we can address that, but I don't think this is the answer.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Thank you. George, can you read the last part of the bylaws again, please?
Yeah.
I think I missed.
To work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purpose of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners and communities served by the station, and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming.
Okay. That's the oversight responsibility of the LSB, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so, you know, in spirit and in principle, I support this, because we have to come up with some sort of mechanism or some sort of process where we could involve the communities in terms of being able to either evaluate, input, because you know, that's their product. That's why they tune into radio, is to tune into programming. So there has to be some kind of way where the community could be heard. You know, the work of the affiliates task force, the work that they're doing is tremendous in terms of sending out surveys to the first to the DMs and then providing the information about listeners. I don't think that's a magic pill, but I think it's worth it to develop this concept in spirit and in principle, because we do need a process somehow, you know, to address, you know, a lot of the concerns and complaints of our listeners. So that's all I have to say about that.
This is Henry. Can you put me on the stack, please?
Yes, Henry, you're next.
Thanks. Couple of points. One is that I mean I'm generally in favor of this. I'm not necessarily this specific wording, but I feel my experience has been that what most listeners are most interested in terms of getting involved with the station is that they want to have a way to, they have ideas about programming. They have things they don't like or they wish we had or whatever. And they come to the people who are supposed to be the elected listener reps, and the first thing we tell them is, oh, the LSB's aren't allowed to get involved with programming, and we don't have anywhere else to send them. I think a program council could serve a real need and as a channel for input from our listeners. And I want to add, I actually have experience. We had a program council here at KPFA for a few years, around 2005, 6, and 7, I believe. At that time, we did not have a PD, and when we got a PD, Sasha Lilly, she promptly kind of stripped the PD program council has turned it into a thing where we just filled in survey forms and then eventually dissolved it, so it didn't last long. But while we had it, it actually functioned quite well. Not perfectly by any means, but quite well. We did a couple of things. People worked. I was on it as an LSB rep. We worked very hard. People. We did two main tasks. One was. One worked much better than the other. The thing that worked really well was evaluating proposals from the community or from various people in the community, and that is, for new programs. Because, in fact, there are a lot of people who have ideas, and they didn't previously have, and again now, have no real channel for where to go with their ideas. And they came to the program council, they would toss out something, some of them were quite detailed and refined, some were pretty vague, and we would sit down with them and help them sharpen and focus, and in some cases modify their ideas, and eventually they would do a sample program, and a subgroup of us would listen to it and give them feedback, and so on, and that process actually produced five or six of the programs that are most popular on KPFA right now, of at least of the non-drive time programs, including our Voices of the Middle East and North Africa, Bonnie Faulkner's Guns and Butter, Pushing Limits, the disability program, and so on. The other part that we tried to do, and I'd say didn't succeed as well, but we set up a routine for trying to go through over a period of several years. I forget exactly how we divvied it up, but the idea was to go through the entire grid over a period of a couple of years and evaluate every program, and we would assign a subgroup, of two or three people to each program, and they would listen to, I think, four episodes or something and take notes and compare them and eventually drop a document, which was to be shared with the program director. We had one, but since we didn't, with the department head. Some were good, some were not so good. They got a fair, these evaluations, that is. Some weren't, I thought, pretty good in terms of actually giving concrete feedback. There was a fair bit of resistance from most of the programmers. They didn't like the idea, which is not surprising, but also not the end of the world. They can live with getting some feedback they may not want to get. So I think this thing, in the current climate with the bitterness of at just about every station of the divisions, I don't know whether anything can work, but I think this doesn't have to be a crazy bureaucratic thing. It can actually be a working group and provide some useful service to the station and a way for a wider circle of people who don't want to get involved in a lot of budget and political issues but are really interested in what's on the air to have a voice.
Can I be honest, Pat?
Who's that?
Janet again.
Well, does anyone else want to speak who hasn't spoken? You got it, Janet. Russell, you
want to go?
You were first on that. You're right.
Sorry, go ahead.
You go ahead, Janet. I'll wait till after.
Well, I like the unboxness of that idea, and that really it gives us room to experiment with more groupology, because that is really the problem here. How to turn the group from being basically a static force at Pacifica into being somehow creative. And, these are people, obviously, there's sort of a clubness about it, that the people who really are interested in Pacifica in one way or another have some commitment to it, and they may have a bunch of ideas, and they don't know how to execute their ideas, but they might be, and who knows, Why not listen to each other? And that would be, some council that was created like that would be terrific, with very minimal, simple rules, of how to behave in a group setting, like AA or something like that. I mean, that's simple. That's all. I think that's all. But I like the direction of that that thought.
Russell.
Yeah, who was it right before Janet who spoke?
That was Henry Knorr.
Henry, yeah. I also thought Henry's thoughts were much more, I don't know, much more concrete and interesting and could be more useful than this. I agree with Janet. But I also, you know, and I agree with Lawrence that in general, of course, it would be great to have some sort of democratic input about what's going on. But the bylaws thing that you read, George, it really is very general, and it's really talking only about the LSB's overseeing the general that the mission is we're on mission in our programming, and that general procedures for review are made and not for like it says, going into the details of radio production and programming, which are things that really the producers are the experts about. It just seems amazing that it would get into such detail about such a thing. That part of it just seems not well thought out in the actual written motion that I read earlier. But I think is that we really need to go to some sort of general paradigm of the type that maybe Henry suggested, and also that we really need to enlist the program director themselves to any extent that we're going to want to work with the program director instead of just forcing this onto a program director. And, I mean, especially this is just so huge and bureaucratic, and it just seems like, to the extent that it's not usurping management, it seems like a bunch of wheels are spinning and I end up doing nothing, because all it really calls for, if the PD doesn't want to listen, is that we make a complaint to the GM. and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then what? So it's just like this sort of big bureaucratic thing and nothing that's really actually functioning to do anything except for potentially maybe, if everything goes really, really nicely, maybe getting some publicity for the fact that some issue has arisen about one of the programs or some of the programs. But it just doesn't look like there's any teeth in here to the extent that it isn't usurping. I think we really need to rethink how the P&B would be, what they would be requiring. I rethink the idea of requiring things of the program directors in a sort of a priori way, requiring them to somehow work in certain ways with the LSBs. It just seems too bureaucratic to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to add that because you had read that bylaws thing, and it really doesn't seem to really.
George.
Good, Daniel.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I just want folks to know that we did have one former PD involved in this process last year. That was Bernard White, a former PD from BAI. And in fact, he was probably more gung-ho in proposing the democratic elements in this than a lot of the members of the committee, at least in my view. and so number one. Number two, I also agree with what Russell just said in terms of we established a procedure here, so what if the council proposes something, the PD says, y'all can go somewhere, and so then we go to the GM, certainly is going to say the same thing. That's one thing I never really agreed with in the proposal, but like I said, we were trying to compromise. But anyway, my point is I agree with that part. What Russell just said, we need to come up with something stronger in terms of, where do we go from here if the PD don't accept this?
I want to say.
And if you're talking to the PD, you're you know, to go to the GM, I don't know what you get out of that because the PD probably already talked to GM from the jump anyway.
Let me say that the what we were trying to create was what Henry Knorr was talking about. It's a space in which political conversations can be had, political in the general sense, about the programming, about specifics of the programming, and it sounds like that was created actually from what he was saying. That's what we want. I disagree with both Russell and Benito in terms of requiring something more, of putting more control over what actually comes out in the hands of the program council, for the reasons that people were speaking about before. Because if you make it something which can, in fact, trump the management, then you've got a problem there. And so it was written in such a way that the sort of minimal requirement of the management is that they justify what they're doing publicly. That's all it requires, and that's all you really need to begin that kind of dialogue, to begin that conversation about what do we want to put on the air, how does it fit with the mission, how does it fit with the immediate things at hand at the moment. I want to just say one other thing about the composition, because we struggled over that too, and that was Michael Novick's objection. The function of the ED in this is just to provide the power to make it happen. The ED has no other function in this. The people are selected by the local organization by the means specified there.
Why involve her in it at all?
Because otherwise it can't happen throughout the network.
Oh.
The only person the PNB acts through. The PNB supervises the ED, and the ED supervises the general manager.
Point of order, is anybody going to be able to, make the ED do this, or to enforce this? Why does this happen?
Please.
Alex, can you put me on the track?
It's not a point of order, it's a comment.
Mean it to be a comment. I really mean it to be a point of, explain this to me.
That's the line of command, if you like, from the PNB to make something happen. It's a direction to the ED to make it happen. The ED can tell the general managers to make this happen.
Okay.
And they should make it happen because they're working for the ED. They're working for the Pacifica Foundation, but she's their boss, and so that's why it was phrased that way. I think some of it, in the process of doing this, we basically started out with the idea I just said, that we need a political space to have these discussions. And how are we going to fashion that in a way? And we talked, actually, initially about giving them more power, giving this council more power to be able to actually enforce decisions, And we decided against doing that. And I think that was the right decision. I think we're in a space where we need to get this kind of conversation going to diffuse some of the, you call it groupology,
mm-hmm.
to diffuse some of the negative groupology that sort of we live with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was very pleased to hear what Henry said, because he said it makes it clear that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It was possible to do that at KPFA. I imagine it's possible to do it elsewhere also. So that's all I wanted to say, I think. We put in some other stuff in there also. In the process of discussing things, we thought it might be a good idea for basically to use the program council as sort of manpower for the program director in terms of evaluating programs and that it would be a good idea if the program director trained them a bit. Which made it longer and made it seem more bureaucratic. They're not really essential to what we really wanted to do, but that's how all that got in there, and seemed like a good idea. So further thoughts about where we should go from here? Anybody?
I'm sorry, can I ask, this is Ankine, can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
George, this is Alex.
Alex, you don't have a chance to speak. Go ahead.
I'm not going to say much because I've been talking about this kind of an idea or some variation of it for quite a number of years, actually, and we went through this last year on the program committee, and we got the motion to the national board, and the national board turned it down, and now we're revisiting it, and we're going to ask the national board to review it again. I don't know, we just keep going around in circles with this stuff. To me, it just seems obvious that you need some kind of a mechanism to implement the bylaws mandated function of the local station board to review programming. It's just that simple. What the actual mechanism should be, of course, you can debate that for years. But I think that's less important than just to get the ball rolling and do something. So that's it. That's all I have to say. I'm not going to discuss any of the details of any of the stuff anymore. And I did like Mr. Noor's statement, by the way.
Anyone else want to speak?
I have a question.
Oh, okay. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm wondering, since we have on a local level, we have programming committees, is there not a way, if you guys have looked at working with the local programming committees who also hear from listeners, and in their meetings they have usually the PDs there, if there's a way of communicating or meeting with them or somehow working with them and through them having a dialogue with the PD. Did you guys ever look at that?
Scott, George.
Let's see. Let me. We did think about that. I've forgotten what we thought about it, but we did talk about that. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, you know, I can ask questions. It's really interesting, Bert. Serving on the programming committee here on the local station board, it seems like, you know, if you don't have a PD that's willing to work along with the committee and really take seriously some of the concerns and some of the complaints from listeners, I mean, some of the blatant, you know, behavior that happens, you know, from some programmers, and then, you know, it's not really going to matter whether we have a functional programming council. We have one here at KPFK, sorry about that. We have one here at KPFK quite some time ago. And then again, you know, the program director and the general manager, although they attended and they listened and then they pontificated for quite some time, really never took it seriously. So, you know, I mean, I agree with Alex and I agree with, you know, with Henry, that, you know, this has the potential to really put in place a mechanism that is really going to be fair and democratic. I don't know if this one here takes us there, but, you know, in at risk of talking about the process, I really don't want to. But I just wanted to share that experience, you know, that we're having over here. You know, and it really doesn't have to be that way. I think, you know, some of the concerns are fairs, and some of the concerns should be addressed fairly, regardless of, you know, where it's coming from. Those concerns should be taken seriously. You know, they should be noticed and taken seriously. And they should be addressed. Now, you know, will this motion get us there? I think it's a start. You know, but I think it needs to be somewhat tweaked and modified, and I think Henry's lead on that is pretty good. But, you know, I share the concerns of Russell in terms of the bureaucracy that it entails, you know, to begin a process like that. Thank you.
I want to respond.
I have another little turn.
What's that? Who's that?
This is Henry. I wonder if I could get a second turn.
Yeah, I just like to respond to Ankeny, and then I'll be you. The reason why it's a management committee instead of an LSB committee is really for the reasons that Lawrence just said, which is it's very easy for the management to just blow off the LSB committees, which they do regularly. This has it's more difficult to do it. And again, I mean, the only real requirement on management is that they defend publicly the decisions when they're at odds with the program council. Henry, go ahead.